This is Dynamo All Access, presented by Bud Light on your home for the Houston Dynamo, Yahoo Sports Radio 1560, live from high atop the Gal Building overlooking the Galleria. Here's Glenn Davis.
Matt Peterson in for Glenn Davis with you until 9 o'clock Central Time here on Dynamo All Access. Delighted to be back after a big night last night with Soccer Matters. After the announcement of the resignation of Sepp Blatter, we are talking Dynamo, Dash, MLS, Champions League. We'll talk some more Blatter, whatever you want. 713-439-1560, 713-439-1560. Glenn Davis is in Vancouver getting set for the Women's World Cup. We'll call at least six games beginning Monday nights. And big show on tap tonight. And again, we appreciate the opportunity to host in place of Glenn Davis. Tonight, we'll hear from Allie Bailey. She scored her first professional goal for the Houston Dash on Sunday at Sky Blue. She is an amateur player going in for a women's national team player up at the World Cup, and Bailey scored her first pro goal. We'll talk to her at about 7:30. A great story, really just playing for the love of the game and getting an opportunity to play and scoring a vital goal for Andy Waldrum's team in New Jersey on Sunday. We'll also talk with the Dynamo head coach, Owen Coyle, get his thoughts on Friday's game against the New York Red Bulls and last Saturday's 1-1 draw against New York City FC over at Yankee Stadium. Also get his thoughts on Barcelona Juventus this weekend and a big European Championship qualifier next week involving two countries near and dear to his heart, Scotland, where he was born, and the Republic of Ireland, where his parents are from and where he played with the Republic of Ireland national team. So Owen Coyle will join us in about 10 minutes. Later on in the show, Houston Dash head coach Randy Waldrum comes on, talking about this Saturday's big home game against the Portland Thorns. Dash unbeaten in their last three, a draw at Sky Blue, a win against the Portland Thorns 2 weeks ago at Providence Park in front of 15,000 people, and prior to that, a home draw against the Chicago Red Stars. Then at 8 o'clock, we're going to have Gustavo Rangel. He's the Dynamo Spanish language TV announcer for broadcasts on Telemundo Houston. Great TV partner of the Dynamo. Gustavo knows the game very well, knows the Dynamo, knows Mexican soccer. He'll come in to studio, will be with us from 8 to 8:45 before we round out the show with the New York Red Bulls head coach, Jesse Marsh. Marsh off to a very good start in New York, a very controversial hire in some ways as Mike Petke was let go. A former Red Bull defender, over 300 appearances as an MLS player, led them to their first trophy, the 2013 Supporter Shield. He was ousted. Ali Curtis installed Jesse Marsh. And wouldn't you know it, the Red Bulls were the very last unbeaten team in MLS. They started out with three wins and three ties. They're in a bit of a rough patch lately, one win in their last five. But Jesse Marsh told me earlier that basically a similar product on the field as during the winning times. It's just a very difficult league, and results come and go week to week. So it's the Dynamo and the New York Red Bulls Friday night at BBVA Compass Stadium in Houston. Some great promotions going on for that game, including one as the Dynamo honor first responders. Of course, it's been a very difficult few weeks here in the Bayou City. So the Dynamo and the Houston Dash offering free admission to Friday night's Dynamo game and Saturday night's Houston Dash game for all first responders. That includes firefighters, police officers, paramedics, and emergency medical technicians. All you have to do is go to houstondynamo.com/first responders, and you fill out the entry form. And then when you pick up your ticket to the box office, just show your valid first responder ID for pickup. For those that aren't first responders but want to participate in the cause, there is a special ticket package available at houstondynamo.com/redcross, where $5 of your ticket goes to Greater Houston Red Cross. Friday night, it's the Dynamo and Red Bulls, 8 o'clock Central Time to kick off. The game will be on Yahoo Sports Radio 1560, also carried nationally on Sirius XMFC Channel 94. We'll have our pregame at 7:30, kickoff at 8. Tickets still available, but going fast. It's the Dynamo and the New York Red Bulls. These teams have met a few times in the postseason where the lower-seeded team upset the favorite, and that was most recently 2013. The Red Bulls off their first-ever major trophy, the Supporter Shield. They rolled through Houston, two big wins in September and October of that year by a combined 7-1 margin. But the Dynamo got their first ever win in the Big Apple, a 2-1 extra time win, as Omar Cummings scored the decisive goal in extra time, and the Dynamo ousted the Red Bulls just about a week after they had won the Supporter Shield. 2008, the Dynamo were the big boys in town, the number one seed in then the Western Conference. They had won the previous two MLS Cups, but they were ousted by the Red Bulls. A shock 3-0 win in the second leg, a big night for Dane Richards, and the Dynamo could not three-peat. So some great times in the playoffs between these two teams now in opposite conferences. It's the only time this year they will play, and it's Friday night at BBVA Compass Stadium. Bradley Wright Phillips, 27 goals last year to tie an MLS record set previously by Chris Wondolowski. And he has 5 goals this year, leads the team, 3 assists, a big part of that squad. It's a very good midfield. Dax McCarty, over 30 games each of the last 3 seasons. Sasha Kljestan, a U.S. international who spent the last 5 years in Belgium with Anderlecht and played in a lot of Champions League games, Europa League, very good player. New York maneuvered quite a bit to get him, and part of their maneuvering brought in Felipe Martins from the Montreal Impact, a player that Dynamo GM Matt Jordan knows well. So a lot of good storylines heading into Friday. It's Jesse Marsh who told me earlier a big part of the reason he was hired by Montreal to become their first manager in MLS was Matt Jordan. At that time, Matt Jordan, an assistant GM capacity with the Montreal Impact and part of the selection process of the head coach. Now Jordan, the GM of the Dynamo, Marsh, the head coach of the New York Red Bulls. So that midfield trio of Felipe, Sasha Kljestan, and Dax McCarty against, we'll see how they line it up for the Dynamo. Owen Coyle has some decisions to make. Brad Davis is questionable with a bone bruise. Boniek Garcia will be on the right, most likely. Could he go 2 in the midfield against 3 for the New York Red Bulls? Might he drop Giles a little bit deeper to go 3 versus 3? A lot of interesting storylines heading into Friday night's game. Will Bruin, one of the hottest goal scorers in the league, 4 goals in his last 4 games for the first time since 2012. Giles Barnes was one of the hottest in the league. He has not scored the last 2 games, but this will be his final game before going to Copa America with Jamaica. First time Jamaica has ever been in Copa America. He and Jermaine Taylor both heading off to that big tournament. Tough competition. Uruguay, Paraguay, and Argentina are all in the Jamaicans group. 713-439-1560 is the phone number. 713-439-1560 is the phone number. This is Dynamo All Access presented by Houston Community College. We will take our first break. We'd love to get some calls. What do you want to talk about? Champions League final on Saturday. Sepp Blatter, the Dynamo, the Dash. Bring it tonight. When we come back, we'll talk with Dynamo head coach Owen Coyle ahead of Friday's big game against New York. This is Dynamo All Access. Matt Peterson in for Glenn tonight with you till 9 o'clock.
You're listening to Dynamo All Access. Presented by Bud Light on your home for the Houston Dynamo. Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 from high atop the Gow building overlooking the Galleria. Here's Glenn Davis.
Here on Dynamo All Access, joined by the head coach, Owen Coyle. Owen, thanks again for joining us.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Always good to chat with you, lads.
Yeah, thank you very much. Busy week in the world of soccer, and let's start with Saturday night, your first ever visit as a manager to Yankee Stadium, and the Dynamo and the New York City FC. Your team continued its strong road form, an early goal from Will Bruin, a controversial equalizer from New York City FC, and then a big save from your goalkeeper right around stoppage time. What are your takeaways from the 1-1 draw against NYCFC?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, you're right, it was the first time, obviously, playing at the stadium against New York City, and we were terrific. I mean, the Dynamo played very well from the outset. From the first whistle, we dominated the game, and again came off the back of, as you've mentioned, a very controversial penalty, a very soft as far as I'm concerned, and we've had that kind of going against us, but all credit to the players. They picked themselves up again and dominated the second half. You're right, Tyler Derry made a very good save late in the game, which we're coming to expect because he's a quality young goalkeeper. But having said that, we felt we were certainly worthy of the 3 points, given the level of performance. But the great thing is, you know, again, the lads showed that they've been playing very well. We've had, obviously, in the last 4 games, 3 road trips, you know, going to Toronto and winning, then winning at home against Portland Timbers. narrowly losing LA Galaxy when we should have, again, controversy, should have the penalty in the last minute, and then picking up the point in New York when it should have been three. So we know we're playing well, we know we're moving in the right direction, and that takes us, you know, in good spirit and good heart moving into a tough game on Friday against the Red Bull.
Owen Cole, our guest. Owen, it's a home game. It's a span of 10 of 14 away from home. This one happens to be at home, the only real home game in the month of June before a break the following weekend and then a trip to Portland for a Western Conference rivalry game. How important is it to get something positive here at home against the Red Bulls, maybe some momentum heading into a possible break for the players?
Yeah, well, obviously, as you know, there's no league game the following week due to the international break. But what we must do is continue the form we're in. And we know whether we're at home at the BVA or we're on the road that we can achieve results and be positive. And that's what we're looking forward to. We obviously have, you know, as you know, a couple of young, exciting players coming into the fold in the shape of young Mauro Manotas, who's trained with us a couple of sessions this week. We've obviously got Kubo Torres joining in July. So, you know, it's exciting times, and what we're doing is, as we said at the outset, is building a team that will serve us well for years to come. It was never, ever going to be about a quick fix, but we know that we're moving in the right direction. I mean, we're 2 points off the playoffs at the moment, knowing that if we continue to improve in the form we're in, that we're more than capable of being in the shake-up for those playoffs at the end of the season.
Owen, Friday night, it's an 8 o'clock kickoff, but it should be very warm, maybe in the upper 80s with some humidity. Red Bulls come in after a cross-country travel from Seattle back to New York and then down to the Bayou City. This is a veteran team. They've played in the heat before, but do you have any thought on how you want to manage this team? And do you want them to step on the opponent's throat early on and not let them off the hook? Do you want them to manage the time and balance things out in the heat? What's your approach to a hot home game and how you want your players to play?
Well, we approach every game in the same manner, Matt, trying to win a tough game. And Friday were no different. The Red Bull are full of energy. They have a terrific middle three, as you know, and obviously Wright Phillips, an outstanding goal scorer, good pace in the wide areas, Gaella and Sam. So they have very good players at Red Bull. Our focus will be concentrating on our group. You're right, it'll be hot, it'll be humid and everything else. But obviously within, you'll be aware of this, but within the league now, they're looking to implement a water break if the temperature gets to a certain level. So that's something we have to take into account as well. So when all said and done, the important thing is that we control the ball, we pass and we move the ball. The heat, the humidity, obviously those are factors. But if you can't control that ball, then everything else, you know, nothing else falls into place.
Oh, and you mentioned Mauro Manotas. He came into training Monday, kind of building his fitness up after he was held out of training back in Colombia to complete the transfer. What have you seen from the young Colombian in the first few days of training, and when might his debut possibly be?
Yeah, well, what we've seen is what we've brought to the club. We've seen an exciting young player, and of course, he's a very young man, so there's obviously that transitional period, but he's already showed, you know, glimpses of the quality that he has, and that's what we want to do. We want to integrate him into the group and get him bedded into the squad, and we'll look at Friday in terms of if he's involved in the 18 or not. If not, then he'll certainly play in the Open Cup. So, there's no doubt that we're looking to get him in and trying to adjust quickly and be an important part of our roster. And anything else, those things take time. It's important that we don't rush the young man. We let him allow to settle in Houston, and the people, which, you know, everybody that's came to the club, the people of Houston, our supporters, the Dynamo fans, they've made everybody so welcome, and that's a huge attraction for anybody coming to join with the Dynamo. And that's something, again, we're trying to foster, something we're trying to build, and Mauro Manotas will be a part of that. So, again, you know, the kids did well, but again, we've got to understand he's a young man, he's got lots of time ahead of him, but of course, you know, the sooner he's able to make an impact for us, the better.
Owen Cole, our guest. Owen, the U.S. Open Cup's coming up June 17th against the Austin Aztecs, a team you saw in the preseason. They're in USL Pro. They just went up from amateur to pro, and they have a former Dynamo man, Paul Dalglish, at the helm, probably very motivated to play against the Dynamo in a few weeks' time. But how much priority do you think you and the coaching staff will place on this tournament? It's a tournament, a competition that, depending on the club and depending on the resources and the depth in the squad, the priority varies in MLS. What's your goal in the Open Cup this year?
Well, our goal, as always, is that whatever competition we enter into, you know, we want to do our very best. And the Open Cup provides an opportunity to do that. And we want to be there, we want to be competitive, and we want to make sure that we have players. Because with the roster as well, you'll understand there's a number of players they're maybe not as much game time as they would like, and it's an opportunity for them as well to step up. It'll be a very tough game because, as I say, you know, Austin are a very good side with Paul, who's a good friend of mine and a very good coach, and they'll be obviously wanting to create a shock and take an MLS scalp in the shape of ourselves. But it's important that we get those players some game time. So you will see a number of changes, you know, huge changes for that game, but the players that will play will be first-team players.
And some of your biggest successes, of course, Owen, from your days in Scotland and England, were in cup competitions where you had a scalp or two yourself.
Yeah, well, I'm asking, listen, as you know, everybody, regardless of what sport, but everybody loves the underdog. And there's obviously an opportunity in cup competitions for smaller clubs to punch above their weight. But again, you know, that's I know both sides of it, from being the underdog, from being the favourite. And ultimately, when all said and done, it's about how players handle the occasion, how they go and perform to their abilities. And if they do, then, as I said before, they can you can always look forward to good cup runs.
Owen, I'm curious your thoughts on Boniek Garcia, a player that's been to two World Cups, a former Dynamo Players Player of the Year, been a regular starter here for a few seasons. And we don't like to overlook the stats too much or look into them too much, but just 5 shots this year, this season in 11 games. You look at his first year with the team, 2012, he had 30, albeit sometimes playing in a 4-3-3. Stats can be misleading, but is that something that surprises you with Boniek Garcia? And would you like to see him up forward, around the box, trying to go at goal a little bit more?
Yeah, well, Boniek Garcia is playing a 4-3-3 at the moment, and he's encouraged, as you know, to get positive all the time. I thought he played very well in New York City, and that's something what we've said to Boniek, be really positive. I've got to say as well, you know, Boniek Garcia is probably the most unselfish player you'll ever come across. He's very much a team player. He's very much doing, you know, he always wants to put something on a plate for one of his pals to score as opposed to him. And I've just said to him, you know, listen, sometimes, you know, you can take the shot and everything else. So, but, you know, he's a wonderful man, Boniek Garcia. He's a terrific player. And I thought he played very well in New York. And we know we have a quality in the shape of Boniek.
They'll probably be at the Gold Cup. He and Luis Garrido, that squad will be announced in a little bit. A couple of the other players that probably heading down to Chile after Friday's game, Giles Barnes, Jermaine Taylor. Taylor's been a fixture for Jamaica for a long time, a captain at times, and Giles Barnes, quite the debut with the goal and assist in his second game. You hate to lose your players for important matches, and that's the case here, but I'm sure at the same time, probably excited. It's the first time Jamaica's ever taken part in Copa America, and 2 Dynamo players will be there.
Yeah, well, obviously, it's great for the individual players to go and represent Jamaica at the Copa America, and we are always pleased to see players representing their country in international stage. The difficulty is always is, Matt, and I've got to be totally honest here, is that, you know, back home when in the UK, we managed in Scotland and England, and we had international players missing, they didn't miss any club games because it was tied into the FIFA calendar date. The difficulty we have here in the US of A, and it's something I think that, you know, as a league, we have to look at as well. I mean, we now at Houston Dynamo have our top players missing. And of course, you understand the players want to play in the major competitions. That goes without saying. But, you know, my job and my loyalty is to Houston Dynamo and understanding. And all of a sudden, we have, you know, the possibility of 4 international players. We already suffered earlier in the season against Colorado Rapids, if you remember. We had 5 international players missing that game. And now we're going to have the same problem in the next couple of months. So as pleased as I am for the players to represent their countries, of course I am. The disappointment is that at Houston Dynamo, we miss top players for important games. But again, that's something that we have to manage, something we just have to get on with. And as I said before, we wish the boys well, that they do well, and they come back fit and hungry and ready to play the part for Houston Dynamo.
Owen, Bradley Wright Phillips, 27 goals last year, tied a league record, 5 more this year. He has been one of these players that's, you know, causes discussion. Last year, his own teammate, Thierry Henry, said seriously that he should add 35 or 40 goals. This season, he was given designated player status, and he's done quite well without Thierry Henry. Is that the life of a striker? You scored 297 goals, and it seems like it's sometimes the most underappreciated player on the field. Chris Wondolowski had 27 a few years ago, and people condition it, saying it's the system or luck or this or that. Is it something that's never going to go away, is forward scoring a lot of goals and not getting full credit for it?
Well, I think it's like anything else. In our game, there's always subjective. You know, people will always have an opinion on everything because we love the game and everybody's, you know, investing in it and everybody's being a part of it. But like Phillips is an outstanding player. I mean, a player that played against me in my time in England, so I certainly know his quality. And he's shown that in MLS. I mean, and the thing is, it's, you know, it's the one thing that all managers, all clubs, all head coaches, we all crave is goal scorers, you know, match winners at the top end of the field. And he certainly is. And when you do it consistently, as Chris Wondolowski's done, I mean, these players are consistent scorers. And not only scorers, but very good players for their team. So for me, I mean, as a former striker myself, there's no debate. I mean, these players, they deserve every praise and every plaudit that comes away, because ultimately those are the ones that win you the games.
Finally, Owen, I got two for you. I want to get your thoughts or predictions on two big matches coming up in the next week. First, the Champions League final, Barcelona going for the treble, Juventus looking for their first European crown in 20 years. And then secondly, next week, a big Euro Championship qualifier, two countries with you have significant ties to, Scotland against Ireland. So what are your thoughts on those two games? And if you have any predictions, feel free to share them.
Yeah, well, brilliant. I mean, two tough questions, I've got to say. But, yeah, first and foremost, I mean, the Champions League final. I mean, I think we're all excited to see the a little contrast in styles with Barcelona free-flowing and Juventus will soak up and try to go on the counter-attack. So, but for me, I mean, the purist in me, then we all, I would hope, want Barcelona to because of the way they play the game and the enjoyment everybody gets from them. Having said that, Juventus won't make it easy, as you know. I mean, they'll have a game plan, they'll stick to it. They have dangerous opponents. But I do think over the course of the game that Barcelona's real shining quality, we'll see them through, and particularly in the shape of Messi. He looks back to his unplayable best. So I think it'll be a very good game. I think Juventus will play a big part in the game. But for me, I think Barcelona will shade that one. And that then takes us on to which is a huge international game, I've got to say. And myself and Sandy, my assistant, we were actually at the last game, Scotland v Ireland, at Celtic Park in Glasgow. And obviously now it's the return game in Dublin. And the Republic of Ireland, you know, I was fortunate enough to play for myself, as both my parents are Irish. So, but they need to win the game. I mean, they sit 2 points behind Scotland and three off the top of the group. And it's such a tight group, with Poland and Germany, Scotland and Ireland fighting out for two automatic places, and then the third one is a playoff. But I do think the home advantage, that I do think that Ireland can shade that game, and what an unbelievable group you're going to have in terms of teams trying to qualify for the European Championship.
Wonderful. Well, great analysis on both. And, man, that's one great thing about our game is that, unlike the other American sports, you sit around and wait for storylines, there's always a good game tomorrow or the next day.
No, absolutely. And the other thing is with our game as well, as you know, I mean, there's so many ironies crop up in terms of ex-players playing against each other and all that stuff that goes with it. And that's what makes it exciting. That's why we love it. That's why it's the fastest growing sport. And indeed, our league, the MLS, is probably the biggest growing league in world soccer. And the fans in the US and particularly the Houston area need to be applauded for the conviction of the courage of the convictions in terms of supporting the team, getting behind the Dynamo. And as I say, it's a really positive place to be at the moment.
Well, thanks again, Owen. Thanks for the time and best of luck Friday against the Red Bulls.
Pleasure as always. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
all right,
as always,
Coach Owen Coyle.
Yeah, thanks as always to Owen for his time. Big guest coming up next. She only became the first amateur player to ever score in an NWSL match. Her name is Allie Bailey, and she scored the equalizing goal for the Houston Dash Sunday in New Jersey against Sky Blue. After the break, she joins us next. Still to come, Jesse Marsh, head coach of the New York Red Bulls, Randy Waldrum, the Houston Dash head coach, and then in studio for about 45 minutes, Gustavo Rangel. He's the Spanish TV voice of the Houston Dynamo. Plenty to come with you till 9 o'clock. This is Dynamo All Access.
Atop the Gow building, overlooking the Galleria, here's Glenn Davis.
Matt Peterson subbing for Glenn Davis. He is in Vancouver getting set for the Women's World Cup, which starts Saturday. Canada hosting China to open the 2014 tournament. Dynamo at home Friday night against New York Red Bulls. The Dash are home Saturday to take on the Portland Thorns, who they beat 2 weeks ago at Providence Park in front of 15,000 fans. The Dash unbeaten in their last three, and part of the reason they got a draw last week at Sky Blue is our next guest, Allie Bailey. Allie, welcome to the show. Allie, you online?
Yeah.
Okay, wonderful. Allie, welcome to the show. This is Dynamo All Access, and a big win, or a big tie at Sky Blue on Sunday afternoon. Of course, Ali, you're an amateur player, biding your time. You get an opportunity. You come off the bench. Take us through the play and the big goal.
Okay, so we were down 1-0, and I think I went in 10 minutes left, and I was just really excited to try to come in and make a difference, and I'm really happy that Randy and the coaching staff gave me that opportunity. And one of our defenders, Nikki, played a great ball into Kalia Ojai, and she took on her player, delivered a great cross, and I think Tiff got a piece of it, and then I was just there on the back post to put it in, and thankfully we came away that game with a point.
Yeah, a 1-1 draw at Sky Blue. You come home Saturday. I think this is one of the untold stories in the NWSL this year is the amateur players. You had a great career at Texas A&M, but where the NWSL is right now, there's only 9 teams. There's only so many spots. You come to camp. You're part of the group that hangs around. Sometimes you don't travel. Sometimes you don't make the game day roster. How has the battle been for you just going from a nothing guaranteed to gaining an amateur spot and slowly working your way up into a position where you're coming off the bench?
Yeah, you just have to, keep believing in yourself and just keep, working hard every day. And, I mean, everyone on my team and in this league are playing because they love the game. And so it's just been so awesome to continue my career after playing at Texas A&M and just playing with such an awesome group of girls every day and being able to practice and, getting some playing time too in games has been so awesome. But just working hard every day and just, being ready for your opportunity and your chance. And like you said, this year is a big year for amateurs with our team missing 6 players for the World Cup. It's definitely we're a part of the team this season. And so, I mean, it's been awesome so far.
I was talking with Ben Crook today, and unofficially, this is not verified, but I don't really care if it is or not. You are known as the first amateur goal scorer in league history. The league's 3 years old. You're the first one that has scored. What do you think of that achievement?
I mean, that's cool. I mean, I'm really happy to have made an impact in the game, and it's such an honor to play with these players and to play in this league since there's so few teams, there's so many good players. But it's cool, and hopefully, I can keep working hard and move up from amateur status at some point.
Absolutely. You're part of that golden generation, if you will, at Texas A&M. How'd you end up at Texas A&M? You went to Torrey Pines High School, grew up in Southern California. How did you end up in College Station, Texas?
So when I was in my junior year in high school, we had a club tournament in College Station randomly. And so when I was there, I met with the coaches briefly, and that's where they first saw me play. And then I went home and, was thinking about all these different schools all over the country. And then my dad, was like, you should really go back and look and consider Texas A&M again. And so I went back out there with my mom and loved everything about the school and the soccer program. And they have awesome coaches. The soccer program there gets a lot of support, and there's so many fans. And it just overall was like a perfect fit for me. And I've had the most incredible 4 years going to school there.
Houston Dash forward and goal scorer Ali Bailey joining us here on Dynamo All Access. 100 appearances with the Aggies, 29 goals, 16 assists. A great program. Coach G is somewhat of a celebrity around these parts in the women's soccer game, and your class helped him get over the hump. So many good tournament runs, but never to a Final Four until your senior year. And in that semifinal game against Penn State, you score 2 goals and a 2-1 win. Take us through your career and how much it meant to finally break through and get to the College Cup.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, we came in our freshman year. There was 10 of us freshmen coming in. And so we were definitely, a young team, a new team. And the first year was definitely an adjustment for all of us in my class, getting used to the college game, another step higher in our careers, just another faster, stronger players. And our class was very close and came together after our first couple of years. And we knew that we had the talent and believed in each other to break over that hump. And I've said this before, but I think that it wasn't just our team that got over that Final Four hump. It was all the girls like that were on the team leading up. You know, all the girls that Coach G has coached helped carve the path for us to win that Elite Eight game and make it to the Final Four. And because if they hadn't had a successful soccer program in the past, all of us players wouldn't have necessarily, you know, gone to Texas A&M. So it was really awesome. My senior season, we had a great group. We had 9 seniors, all leaders on the team. We won SEC Conference, the SEC Tournament, and made a big run to the Final Four. And it's definitely something I'll never forget.
And then, of course, small world that is soccer. Your current teammate now at the World Cup is who sadly knocked you out of the Final Four. Morgan Bryan in University of Virginia is who you met in the first round of the College Cup.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about that. I've known Morgan since we were pretty young, and so I was a little bitter about that when she came to Houston, but it's okay.
Now, it was fun for us on the broadcast, Jen Cooper and I, the game a few weeks back against FC Kansas City. We jokingly called it a Texas A&M reunion at BBVA Compass Stadium. Of course, Shea Groom scored a great goal. Former teammate of your Megan Lisenby subbed on. I think Coach G was in the crowd. What was that like just to be a part of that? And, you know, it was a very backbreaking goal for the Dash, but seeing your old teammate Shea Groom score a good goal.
Yeah, I was very happy for Shay. I mean, she scored so many big goals for us at A&M. I mean, obviously, I definitely wanted our Houston Dash team to win, but it was definitely cool to see her and Megan and to play against them. It was so weird because we have been on the same team for so long, it seemed like. But it was cool. And then Jordan Day, who is also an amateur player on the Dash, was there too. And so just to see all of us, you know, thrive in our career after A&M is really cool, and I know that we're all still in touch all the time.
Now, another amateur who has really carved out a nice niche is Jen LaPonte. Really 3 years in the making, and she gained a start against Chicago Red Stars a few weeks back. I think she even played against Kansas City, but is that helpful to see someone that's put in some time, also in an amateur-type role, gain a breakthrough in the starting lineup? And how much camaraderie is there on the team with, you know, people don't know if they're traveling, if they're in the team sheet or the starting lineup. I'm sure probably some camaraderie while there is competition.
Yeah, definitely. Jen is such a great example of someone who just consistently works so hard. You can tell every day at practice, and she has been for so long. So it was really good, and I was really happy for her to see her getting so much playing time recently. And it's a lot different than college. There's always it's competition, not just for playing time, but for travel time and to travel or to suit up and dress out for games and to play and stuff. But the team, I mean, I can't say it enough. Our team is such a great group of girls. It is a competitive environment, but everyone really, really does support each other. And, I mean, I am so happy to be a part of that right now.
Former Texas A&M Allie Bailey joining us on Dynamo All Access, scored the equalizing goal at Sky Blue on Sunday. Now, you have a unique position in that you, of course, didn't graduate just yet. You wanted to play soccer, which is admirable. So now you have to find a way to finish your degree, which I believe is in general studies. How is that going, managing, trying to finish up, and how has the teachers up at College Station been dealing with that?
This past semester was a little bit difficult, but thankfully Houston isn't too far from College Station, so I was able to go back for class when I needed to, and it was really nice. Randy really worked with me with that because he knows how important it is to get your college degree. So the past couple months I was a little bit back and forth finishing the semester, and then I'll finish my final semester this fall at Texas A&M. So when the season's over, I'll be there to graduate.
Allie Bailey, what do you think of this young crop of players? I think it's been a great year for the NWSL showcasing young talent with the national team's players away. Young girls have taken the opportunity. Look at Sofia Huerta, who played at Santa Clara, didn't even play in the NCAA tournament last year, and I think she's an early MVP candidate. The freshman or the rookie class across all teams has found ways to contribute. Has it been fun for you to watch, not just on the dash, but across the league, young players just out of college contributing at the pro level?
Yeah, definitely. It's really cool to see that, you know, girls that I've known since I was younger or played with and stuff thriving in this league. And this league is so, it's so competitive. There's not very many teams. So to see young girls or younger players do that is so awesome and very optimistic about that. And, you know, like it gives the other rookies and the other amateurs or the first year players, you know, like hope that they can succeed and do well too. And they just got to keep believing in themselves.
Finally, Ali, a big one Saturday against Portland. You gained a big 1-0 win there 2 weeks ago and now looking to make it four straight without defeat. A win would put you as high as third in the NWSL standings. What are you expecting Saturday night? What are the keys for a dash win on Saturday?
So Portland, I think they're coming off of a few losses, but they're definitely a very, very good, team. We beat them 2 weeks ago in a really hard fought battle game. And I expect them to be very, very possession based and keep the ball very well. I know that we'll do a good job, you know, stopping that and, stopping their possession game and, you know, hopefully getting another big win at home, which we need.
Well, Ali, great to have you on. Really great story. You know, perseverance, waiting your time and scoring a big goal for the Dash. And best of luck the rest of the season and finishing up that degree at Texas A&M.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
That's Dash forward Ali Bailey scoring a big goal on Sunday against Sky Blue FC. We'll take a break, then we'll hear from Ali's coach after the break. Randy Waldrum, Dash head coach, joins us next. With you till 9 o'clock, this is Dynamo All Access.
You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Bud Light, on your home for the Houston Dynamo. Yahoo Sports Radio 1560, from high atop the Gal building overlooking the Galleria. Here's Glenn Davis.
Matt Peterson filling in for Glenn with you till 9 o'clock here on Dynamo All Access. No Soccer Matters or All Access next week, but back with you the week of June 14th, the Soccer Matters and Dynamo All Access. Our producers tonight, Adam Sager, and Ryan Locke. So we're waiting for Dash head coach Randy Waldrum as the Dash take on the Portland Thorns this Saturday at BBVA Compass Stadium. Don't forget, the Houston Dynamo, the Dash, and BBVA Compass are offering free admission to Houston area first responders for both games this weekend. The Dynamo on Friday, the Dash on Saturday. Local firefighters, police officers, paramedics, and emergency medical technicians can claim their complimentary tickets and purchase any additional seats they need at HoustonDynamo.com/first responders. And then once you get to the stadium, you can show an ID. But it's a nice promotion offered by the Dynamo Dash and BBVA Compass. And those fans who aren't first responders can also purchase tickets, which includes a $5 donation to Greater Houston Red Cross, available at HoustonDynamo.com/Red Cross. I believe we've connected with Randy Waldrum, the head coach of the Houston Dash. Randy, welcome to Dynamo All Access.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Randy, we just had your goal-scoring forward, Ali Bailey, on, who we believe is the first amateur goal scorer in NWSL history. It's not 100% verified, but we don't care. We're gonna go with that because it's a great story. Take us back to New Jersey. It was a hot Sunday afternoon. You fell behind on another set-piece goal. You had a penalty stopped from Jessica McDonald. So a lot of things stacking against you. And then wouldn't you know it, Ali Bailey off the bench scores a big goal. I think one of the bigger goals this season for the Dash.
Yeah, you know what? She did a great job coming off the bench for us. We really couldn't ever get into a rhythm, Matt, to be honest. I thought we had about 60 minutes of just kind of being in the game but not really taking charge of it. And with about 20 minutes left, and we, as you said, we'd already missed a penalty, a chance to tie it up. We changed our formation. We brought Ali off the bench, and she did a great job for us and got in on the back of a rebound shot that came out and scored the goal. And you know, it was funny because Tom Brown and Hiro Suzuki, my two assistants, we were talking. We said that's exactly the kind of goal she scored at Texas A&M all year and their big run to the Final Four. So it was great, and I'm with you. I think she is the first to score as an amateur player in the league. So hopefully we're right on that one.
Yeah, this is a great story, I think, for the league this year. So much is made of the stars, Carly Lloyd and Megan Klingenberg and Morgan Brine for the Dash. Those at the World Cup. But the league goes on. There are still games. There are still great stories. Girls that were stars at big programs now getting a chance to play and scoring goals. And I think this is, I think, a fun selling point for the league this year, the fact that these girls are not making any money, but for the love of the game, they're playing and contributing in big moments.
Yeah, you know, I told Chris Canetti and Brian Ching in the beginning when this season got started, I said our amateurs are going to be really key for us because I think they're going to be the ones that's going to make a difference for some teams in this league during this World Cup stretch. And sure enough, you know, Allie comes in and comes off the bench and does that for us. And, you know, not only Allie Bailey, but we've had the other A&M goalkeeper, Jordan Day, and Megan Kinneman, there to back up Bianca if need be, and Cammie Previtz played a lot of minutes for us, you know, as an amateur player as well. So you know, Jen LaPont did that for us in two games there with Chicago and Portland. So the amateurs are playing a big part in this league, and it's just great to see, you know, that you've got young women willing to do that, as you said, just for the love of the game and that opportunity that's in front of them.
Yeah, it was a great story a few weeks back. Jen LaPont, 3 years in the making, got her first start, I believe, against Chicago Red Stars. How difficult is it picking your team sheets each and every night? I know you don't travel a full 18 on the road, so it makes it more difficult. I have a hard time picking interns, selecting them for the summer, and that's just you know, an off-the-field issue. You obviously want to win games, but how difficult is it rounding out the team roster each and every week and, I'm sure, letting down players that have worked hard all week?
Yeah, it's the difficult part about being the manager. You know, when you have to make those decisions of who you're going to travel with and who you're going to leave home, you know, those conversations I try to have personally with each of the players if they're not traveling, you know, and obviously if they are traveling. And so that's the bad part and the hard part of the job that we have. But all the players pretty much take it as pros, and they understand it, and they continue to just fight for that opportunity because they all obviously want to travel. But you know, I think it's one of those things. Picking the team has probably been the hardest part for us this year because, you know, we struggled in a couple of different phases of our team. So it seems like the last 4 or 5 games maybe that we've played, as we've been trying to solidify our back line a little bit, we've gone with a different lineup almost every game in the last 3 or 4 weeks. So that makes it a little bit difficult because as we brought in Ellie Brush, the new Australian player, and then we brought in Tony Presley, and you know, as we made some additions to our team, and then Brittany Bach coming back, it's almost been like we're getting something new each week that we're adding a new piece to the puzzle. And so it's been a little bit, I'd like to be more consistent in that if we could. So hopefully here over the next few weeks we'll be that way, with our last player coming in today, our Brazilian Camilla. So hopefully that's the last move we'll be making until after the World Cup.
The Dash currently 9 points in 5th place in the NWSL, but they do have a game in hand on 2 teams above them, both FC Kansas City and Washington. Now, Saturday night at BBVA Compass Stadium, Portland Thorns come to town. They're off to a slower start than some people expected. 8 points from 7 games, but a big one in the standings. They're 1 point back. They've played the same amount of games, and you beat them in front of about 15,000 fans at Providence Park a few weeks ago. A very interesting setup, 3-6-1, some would call it, their formation. Yeah. They have big-time goal scoring from Allie Long and then Meliana Shim, who was a Dash player for a couple days. you saw them a few weeks ago, but how would you describe this 3-6-1 formation to fans?
Well, you know what? Nobody in the league is playing in that shape. I think if you follow the English Premier League or some of the other leagues around the world, you'll see a little bit Liverpool kind of played that way a little bit this year during the season. So I think Paul probably picked up the idea from there. And he's loaded in midfield, so he wants to get all 4 of those players. You know, you mentioned Allie Long and Shim. They've got Farrelly and Zerboni. And so I think he's looking at that, saying those 4 players he needs to get on the field. And that's one way of doing it. Of course, he's missing a couple of big guns up front because of the World Cup. Now they brought in the Ecuadorian Guinea player in Ayo, so he's got a big threat there. But it's a little bit different because you have to prepare for them differently than everybody else in the league, just because they shaped their team out a little bit. But we were really good defensively against them up in Portland. You know, we didn't create nearly enough on the attack, but defensively we were good. We took advantage of our opportunity. So hopefully at home, you know, we'll be a little bit more offensive-minded and we can go at them a little bit more on our home turf. But it's a big game for both because, as you said, they've lost three in a row, and that's very unlike Portland. So they come in a desperate team. And we also look at it and say, out of these next three games going into the World Cup, we need to get as many points out of these three games as we can, so we're as high up in the standings as we can be for post-World Cup when we get all of our players back, because we think we're going to be in a great position to make a good run for it, you know, then. So this game's really important to both teams. So hopefully the fans will come out like they do in Portland. You know, as you mentioned, 14,000, it's an amazing environment. So, you know, urge all of our fans to get out and cheer us on, because it's going to be a big game. And of course, I know we're going to show the opening World Cup game with three of our Canadians there at the stadium prior to kickoff. So it'd be great to see a big turnout this weekend.
Yeah, home on Saturday, home on June 20th against Western New York, and then at Washington Spirit before the second half of the season in some ways kicks off against Chicago. I asked Allie Bailey this, Randy. You were around the college game for a long time, most notably with Notre Dame, and this seems to be the year of the rookie in some ways, and the year of the young player with so many of the national team stars away. Players like Sophie Huerta, who is my early MVP front runner, and then you have girls like Shea Groom coming off the bench, scoring a goal against your own team, and Allie Bailey. What about this? The young college players in their first or second year in the league really breaking onto the scene this season?
Well, you're right, and I wish we could have gotten Sophia in the draft. She unfortunately wasn't around when it came our time to pick. But I knew her quite well from her Santa Clara days because we would play them all the time. But, you know, I think the big key is, you know, they're taking advantage of the opportunity of not having these world stars around during this World Cup period. And those top players are making the most of the opportunity they get. And they're good players in their own right. They're going to do very well even when the World Cup players come back. But you mentioned a couple there. And, of course, Stephanie McCaffrey up with Boston is off to a good start, you know, as a rookie player out of D.C. So it is those players don't look like collegiate players coming out. They look like they've been around the league a few years, and they've all done well. So it's great to see, and shows you that the league is probably primed to maybe expand a little bit. Hopefully in the next couple of years we'll get a little bit of an expansion, and I think we have enough good players to have a couple more teams in the league, and we don't want to do that too quickly and spread it too thin. But I think it bodes well for our national team, since we're talking about a World Cup time period right now. We've got a lot of senior players on our U.S. team that this is probably their last hurrah, and I think you can see from some of these young players you just mentioned, I think we're going to be in pretty good hands for a few years to come.
Randy Waldrum, our guest, the head coach of the Houston Dash. They're at home Saturday against the Portland Thorns, 7:30 p.m. here on June 6th. And, of course, first responders may get a free ticket at HoustonDynamo.com. Camila, a player you mentioned at the opening, Randy, she signed a few weeks ago, just a 20-year-old Brazilian defender. And you said she's been in training this week. What have you seen from her, and might she be part of the starting group on Saturday night?
Yeah, well, actually, she just got in this morning about 5:30 a.m., so she came in and we got her sent off for her medicals and all of those things that we have to do before she can step on the field. So tomorrow will be my first actual look at her, but we'll get her a couple of days, and that I would expect her to get some minutes for sure this weekend. You know, that's kind of why we brought her in. And she's also under 20 World Cup team, a very, very good young up and coming player. You know, for Brazil, I think she's going to be kind of like a Morgan Bryan is for us. I think she's going to be one of those future players for their senior team, and I'm excited about having her because she can play in a couple of different positions. You know, she could play an outside back, which we've got some converted players like Ella Meza, who's playing there that really is not a back, or we can play her up front. She plays up front with her club team, and she plays in the back with her national team. So I'm very excited to see her in tomorrow morning's training, but I think there's a good likelihood you'll see her this weekend for sure.
Randy Waldrum, our guest, and then just your general thoughts on the league through about 2 months. I think it's probably good for the parity of the league that some of the big dogs from last year have come back down. FC Kansas City's in fourth place, Seattle's in sixth, Portland's in seventh, and maybe a few surprises up top with Chicago and Washington. The league looks very wide open, very winnable here at this stage.
Yeah, you know what? I think that's a big difference of last year. You know, we were the expansion team that I'm sure most of the teams felt like they could, when they saw us on the schedule, could get a win. I think Boston struggled, you know, a lot last year as well. And Sky Blue, you know, struggled as well. So this year, the biggest difference is it looks like, as you mentioned, everybody can beat you on any given day. You know, Boston hasn't lost at home. They haven't won on the road, but they haven't lost at home. And Chicago's taken off, I think, probably a little better than everybody expected. But you're right, the parity is, it's great for the league, and I think it's something that's, I don't know if I'd say it's expected, but I think due to the fact that a lot of these World Cup players have been gone, I don't think it's surprising that everybody's still trying to find their way and find what lineup works while their national team players are away. And, you know, it's been good for us because, you know, we've got three results of some kind of points in a row in these last three games. I don't think we did that at all last year. And it's kept us right in the thick of things in the middle of the pack. And, you know, because of the way the parity is in the league, really you can move up three or four spaces just in the span of a weekend, depending on how the results go. It's that tight. So I think that's great for the league, and I think it's going to make for an interesting second half of the season, especially when the World Cup ends and all these players come back.
All right, Randy, well, we appreciate it. Enjoy the opening of the World Cup. You'll be preparing for your own game, but and good luck against the Thorns Saturday night at PBVA Compass Stadium.
Okay, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
That's Dash head coach Randy Waljum. Go watch him in the Dash Saturday night, 7:30 kickoff, Portland and Houston. We'll take a break. When we come back, we are waiting on Gustavo Rangel, the Spanish TV voice of the Houston Dynamo. He will join us in studio for a few segments. Still to come, Jesse Marsh, the head coach of the New York Red Bulls, with you till 9 o'clock. This is Dynamo All Access.